Well, as was said and has been advertised the last few weeks, we are going to start a series on this book, Surprise the World. And today we're going to talk about living questionable lives, what that looks like. And it's going to be a little different, but want to, first of all, before we get into much deeper, give you a definition of a word that is very much used and has been used a little bit, quite a bit actually, within Christian circles the last number of years, and it's the word missional. And we see on the front cover of this book, 5 habits of highly missional people. What is missional? What does it mean to be missional? Like you've maybe heard the name or the word, a definition, missionary, similar. But Michael Frost gives the definition of missional as all we do and say that alerts others to the reign of God. All we do and say that alerts others to the reign of God. So I just wanted to make that as kind of an umbrella that we're going to look under, the missional umbrella, and there's 5 habits that he talks about in this book that we're going to look at. But first of all, we're going to look at living questionable lives. Why does the word evangelism cause some people so much anxiety? Questions for us, a bunch of questions. Do you get images of door knocking or approaching strangers in shopping malls? Does it make you feel like you're being turned into a reluctant recruitment officer for the church? Should faith sharing really be anxiety producing? I know, I'll be honest with you, at times in my own life, as a Christian and even as a pastor, it has produced some anxiety, right? Well, you gotta make the sale, man. Put it through. Right, John? There you go. A good salesman, right? But that's not the way that we need to look at things. I had a picture this week come to my mind of a Roadrunner and Wile E. Coyote cartoon. I don't know why it came to my mind, but in regards to oftentimes the way we see evangelism is like that. When I was growing up, I watched Looney Tunes, and there's a time when... as you know, Wile E. Coyote always tried to get the Roadrunner and never quite got him. He always fell off a cliff or got blown up or something like that, right? Hope that doesn't happen in our evangelism. But anyway, one picture that came to my mind was him in a little cart of some sort, and he had a stamp. And he actually got pretty close one time to getting the Roadrunner, and he stamped him, this little Roadrunner stamp, on the side of his little cart, saying, "Yes, I got him." And that is the wrong mentality. I think that's a mentality we've had sometimes as Christians, is that we go out and we evangelize and we got them. Not so good. I think we need to be aware. People are people, and they're not projects. Amen? Yeah, they're people. So we need to just be very careful. Michael Frost gives this quote from his book on pages 6 and 7. When gifted evangelists tell the rest of us we should behave like gifted evangelists, 2, it has a debilitating effect. We look at confident, articulate, theologically trained evangelists preaching in our churches and hear their stories of sharing the gospel on the back of a napkin in a restaurant or on a plane, and then we hear them tell us that we too can, indeed, and should do what they do, and we freeze. We know we can't do what they do. It's interesting. So sometimes we feel that way. Are we all meant to be little Billy Grahams? I thought that at one time. You know, we're all meant to be little Billy Grahams. Have we just been getting it wrong? Well, I know that I've gotten the impression through the years, through teachers, very well-meaning teachers and profs at my Bible school, as well as other places, and well-meaning pastors, that we as Christians just going to make evangelism happen. We're going to make it happen. Get out there and win the lost, which is good. We need to do that. I'm not going to preach against that. But sometimes, as I mentioned with the Wile E. Coyote thing, we can be maybe misguided, maybe a little bit wrongly motivated at times. We can wear evangelism. Hear this, church. We can wear evangelism as a badge of honor or shame rather than letting heaven rejoice over one sinner who repents and leave it at that. Right? We need to be careful that we don't wear it as a badge of shame because we haven't been doing as good as we should be, or wear it as a badge of honor and saying, look how good I am in comparison to others. So we're going to work through a way that we can look at this differently. So what does the Bible say about evangelism? We're going to look at Colossians 4 and 1 Peter 3 today a little bit, along with what Michael Frost says. But I want to pray for us. Lord Jesus, we give you this time and ask that you, O Holy Spirit, would speak through this and that you would help us to understand our role in reaching the lost, in reaching those who need you so desperately, Lord Jesus. Equip us, I pray, O Holy Spirit, you teach us. Teach us in and through your servant Michael Frost and ultimately through your word and through the words that you have given to me. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We just want to commit this time and this whole series to you and ask that through this time that we would be encouraged, that we would be challenged, that we would be changed, and that for our small groups and for this focus, this next 4 to 5 weeks, would be something that would build up your kingdom and encourage and disciple and lead us to a greater understanding of the Great Commission that you've all called us to. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have your Bibles or tablets or phones, please turn with me to Colossians 4, starting at verse 2, and then we'll head over to 1 Peter 3. Colossians 4, verse 2. Devote yourselves to prayer. Be watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. We read in 1 Peter 3, 15 and 16, these words. But in your hearts set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. Right. I want to talk to us firstly about evangelists being bold. Evangelists being bold. That we see in different passages within the scriptures that there is the gift of evangelism. And there are those in our midst here that have that gift of evangelism. We are all to be evangelistic. We are all to be outward focused. But there are some amongst us that have that gift, as is mentioned in the book of Ephesians. So, firstly, Paul clearly seems to think that there are certain people, as I've mentioned, that are gifted evangelists. And there are two that he mentions, one that are local and one that is translocal, actually three, sorry. And there are leaders in the local church. You can see these in such places as 2 Timothy 4, verse 5, and Ephesians 4, 11, the list of the gifts in the church. So there is some in our midst, and there I know of some of you, and I've talked to some of you, that have that gift, that there's always something that just comes up in your lives, or you're always just drawn into those conversations, right? And that's good, and we need to have that. But what about the rest of us? And before we do that, what do we need to do for evangelists? What does that look like? Those who have the gift of evangelism. Well, we need to pray, as Paul says, to open a door for the message, and pray that those who have that gift would proclaim it clearly. So here's a challenge for our church. Have we identified the gifted evangelists in our midst? Have we identified them? What does that look like? Who are they? Are we praying for those evangelists that they would proclaim the message clearly, that God would continue to open doors of hearts? Paul here in Colossians seems to be having a different dynamic coming in regards to looking at us as believers and those with the gift of evangelism. It's kind of a different responsibility. Those with the gift of evangelism are to proclaim the message boldly. But those of us who don't have the gift of evangelism don't need to feel the pressure, but that we need to pray for those and pray like crazy for those people who do have, but we have to be living questionable lives. What does he say here? Devote yourselves to prayer. Be watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly, as I should. And then he's verse 5. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation always be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Leading questionable lives. Well, questionable maybe has a bad connotation sometimes. Questionable? We're not supposed to lead questionable lives, Pastor. What are you talking about? Well, questionable in that we're different than others. That we are, our actions and our words speak and start, ignite something in those around us who don't believe in Jesus. The key phrase here in Colossians 4, verse 6 is, so you know how to answer everyone. Your conversations may be seasoned with salt, right? It says there that salt picture Jesus brings to that, us, that same picture that we are salt and light, that we are seasoning in this world, we are healing presence in this world, right? We're going to talk about that, that we need to be that salt. So that's it's not always just trying to force the conversation into an area of, do you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? I think that it's important that we would get to that point. And you know, sometimes I have to say, I'll be honest with you, I'm just going to be vulnerable, that there's times where I felt forced to ask the question, if you were to die tonight and you appeared before Jesus Christ, what would your answer be? And that, and there's, you know, the evangelism explosion, which has been a big part of this church's past, is a good tool, but sometimes can be a buttonholing tool, right? And where are those people that accepted Christ today? Where are they? So just some questions to ask us to think about these tools. This is just a tool. Again, evangelism explosion, just a tool. So we need to see it as that, of course, and go to this first. But our lives should be questionable. What does this look like? Well, Peter agrees with Paul in our passage that we just read, 1 Peter 3. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you. Questionable. Questioning why we do what we do. And we'll look into what that looks like. And surprise the world, Michael Frost says, the believer's function then was to pray like crazy and to conduct themselves in word and deed in such a way as to provoke unbelievers to question their beliefs and enter into an evangelistic dialogue. Different. Very different. Encouraged, I'm not going to read the whole story, but early on in the book, Michael Frost talks about Emperor Julian in Rome. Love that story. I love history. And Julian was having problems with these Galileans, or atheists, as he called Christians back in those days, because they were helping people left, right, and center, right? And he tried himself to get his pagan priests to do the same thing, and it didn't work out for them as well as for the Christians. That these people were helping, they were blessing people, which we're going to talk about in just a minute. They were giving an answer by their lives and by their words. So while evangelists are making the most of every opportunity, the primary contribution the rest of us make to the work of evangelism is to answer questions. And I think evangelists as well. Our lives are to be questionable, intriguing, surprising. O.S. Guinness has this quote about the kingdom of God, which we are all part of and working to advance. Jesus made clear that the kingdom of God is organic and not organizational. It grows like a seed and it works like leaven, secretly, invisibly, surprisingly, and irresistibly. Secretly, invisibly, surprisingly and irresistibly. That's why Michael Frost called his book Surprise the World. It's only when we're surprising or intriguing that anyone will ask us a question. Here's a central issue to consider. We're doing it all wrong if no one ever asks us any questions about our lives. Right? If our lives look pretty much like any other respectable, law-abiding citizen, what's so intriguing about that? We're just like anybody else. So, we have evangelists. We have ourselves as questionable believers. As we pray, as we ask God to help our lives to look different, to act different, to speak differently. So think of a pair of scissors for a second. Okay? The evangelist and the questionable believer are two scissors, two shears or two blades on a pair of scissors. Okay? The biblical model of evangelism then is for our church leaders to A, identify, equip, and mobilize gifted evangelists, with gifted evangelistic leaders taking the primary responsibility, and B, inspire all believers to live questionable lives, intriguing lives, surprising lives, irresistible lives. If all believers are leading the kind of lives that evoke questions from their friends, then opportunities for both faith sharing abound and chances for the gifted evangelist to boldly proclaim are increased. Hear that? You need to be aware of that. I think gifted evangelistic leaders bear the responsibility to equip the congregations, or their congregations, to be able to tell others about Jesus, but that the opportunities for faith sharing will emerge from questioning unbelievers. Gifted evangelistic leaders should be training their congregations to speak about Jesus conversationally when questioned about how they deal with suffering or why they spend their vacation helping the poor or why they're going without something during Lent or whatever it may be, or why they just want to give their money to contribute to the greater good of the society around them. So I ask you this question. How questionable is your life? How intriguing is our lives to those around us? Does it just look like everybody else's, like your neighbors? Is it different? Is there anything surprising about it at all? Well, if not, then I wonder if we haven't done a very good job, or past leaders haven't done a very good job helping that. So how can we be more questionable, you're asking? Maybe you're just stuck on that phrase, questionable. Well, Michael Frost suggests five ways, and you can see at the very front of the cover, there's a acronym, BELLS. And again, this is just a tool, right? BELLS, first is BLESS. So we're going to talk about that. Next week is EAT. We're going to have a feast next week. Invite your friends. No, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see about that. But anyway, and then we'll have the L is for listen, learn, and sent. So we're going to go through that. But bless. What does it mean to bless? Well, it's an old English word that we often use. And I like the definition that Michael Frost finds in that it's to add strength to another's arm. I like that phrase. I like that definition, to add strength to another's arm. It's a little small, sorry guys, but to add strength to someone else's arm. There's three ways that Michael Frost brings out. Very simple. We all have heard them before, but first one is words of affirmation. I like Mark Twain, and Michael Frost quotes him, "I can live for 2 months on a good compliment." Mark Twain. I don't know if I'd want to go 2 months, but, you know, like it's amazing when you haven't had a compliment, when you haven't had someone affirm you or encourage you in a long time, doesn't it feel good when someone comes alongside you and says something that's really encouraging to you? Right? Yeah. Some of you say, well, I've gone my whole life and no one's ever said something nice to me. Well, maybe you haven't said something nice to them. I'll just be blunt, right? You need to, you know, we give and we receive what we give to others. So I like Michael Frost's quote there, a word of encouragement is like oxygen to the soul. A word of encouragement is like oxygen to the soul. I encourage you this week, even today, to find someone maybe you haven't talked to in a while, or maybe someone you've never talked to, their face is very unfamiliar to you in this church, and go and Welcome them. That's a word of affirmation. Help them. Just introduce yourself to them. And be surprised where that goes. I know that that's one thing I've heard as a strength of our church, is that people feel welcomed here. They feel friendship here, which is good. Second one is acts of kindness. Acts of kindness, very simple. Maybe it's just providing practical support for somebody, your next-door neighbor, someone you know, someone in town or someone in your circle of influence. Maybe it's cutting an old lady's lawn. Maybe it's looking after kids that a mother has been up for weeks and weeks and weeks without any sleep. And I know you've done that with other families and with Scott and Rosie's family as well as many others. Right. Or whatever it may be, look for those needs that you can help just practically. Maybe it's your neighbor. You know, for myself, just my neighbor that I had in Whitewood, that we started off our time together by exchanging stuff for recipes. They phoned up and said, "Do you have any syrup?" I said, "Sure, we got some syrup. Here you go." Right? And then you go back and forth, here and there, and that led to deeper and deeper conversations, and they're part of our church for many years. Had a chance to bless some neighbors in our community here in the last few weeks. They had a little one just arrive. So little things like that, right? Giving diapers to a needy family, whatever that looks like. It's just being that encouragement can go a long way. And that leads to the third point, that's gifts. Talking about totally random gift giving, something that's totally unexpected. Not for their birthday, not for, you know, another special day of the year, Christmas or whatever. People expect that time of year, right? In some ways. But just random. Just go knock on someone's door and just say, "Here," give them a card or whatever it may be. Just really random acts of kindness and gifts in that way. We're going to talk about eating and having a meal next week. A meal can be a gift, can be something special. But I want to challenge you, and there's going to be a challenge, and you read that in the end of each chapter each week, but there's a challenge. And that challenge is this week, bless three people. Bless three people. What does that look like? And at least one of whom is not a member of your church. And at least one of whom is a member of your church. And a third person can be either. So at least one of the three has to be someone that's not in this building right now or attends FCBC. Okay? So, do you think you can do that? Just be a blessing? You'd be surprised what will happen. Well, I want to stop and pray for us, and then I want to share a couple stories about blessing before we close our time together today. I want to pray for us that, and I want your minds to not think about what's going to happen after church or anywhere else. I desire that your minds would be totally focused on three names, okay, of people that you can bless and just ask God for that. So we're going to just take a moment and we'll pray. Lord Jesus, we just want to come to you right now and want to ask you in the stillness and quietness of this moment to reveal names of people, even just even houses that maybe we've passed by that we just don't know that person or don't really know them all very well. And so or people that we are yet to know, we just pray that you'd help us to be a blessing to three people this week, to encourage them, and that in that, that they would be intrigued and maybe even slightly surprised by your spirit that is at work within us, and not for the sake of our glory in any shape or form, but for the sake of your glory and your kingdom's sake. So we just ask now that you would reveal to each and every one of our minds and hearts three people or places where people are that we could be a blessing this week. Just take a few seconds now just to ask the Lord quietly who those people may be or where those places may be that he's leading you. Jesus, may you help us to be that living water and to strengthen the arms, those here, as well as to encourage and strengthen the arms of those around us. They may begin to wonder and ask us, why are you doing this? What made you give that gift, or what made you spend the time with me helping to vacuum my carpets, or whatever it may look like, Father? Help us, I pray, for your kingdom's sake. Father, I pray that you would guard our minds and hearts from seeing this as a big project, but to see it as a kingdom perspective and to be open to what your Spirit wants to say through us, and not just to do it to tick a box, Father, but to do it because you want us to do it. And Father, I pray boldly that if there are those of us who just want to tick a box, that we wouldn't bless anyone this week. You would help us to just do it with the right motivation. Not to please people, not to please me as the pastor, not to please the elders or anyone else, but to please you. And so we just give you thanks for that. We thank you for what you're going to do and what you have done in the midst of the lives that are here today, that many are already doing this, blessing others quietly, unassumingly. And we thank you for those who have done this maybe for many, many years of their lives. And this is just a reminder of what's already a habit in their lives. And we thank you for those people who do that quietly and unassumingly. We pray, Father, for those who don't and haven't had this habit, that you would just encourage and empower by your Spirit in your time and your way. And pray that this week would be a different week for this town of Clare's Home because of the blessing that you will pour out through your people here. And for those in this church who may be hurting or maybe just need someone to talk to, that there someone would be a blessing to strengthen the arm of our brothers and sisters together here as well. We give you thanks for that. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Be wise, full of grace, seasoned with salt, gentleness and respect. All these phrases that we just talked about, may they be true. May they be embodied in our lives for this week and into the weeks and months to come. Jesus did teach us to bless others. And I want to encourage you with a story out of this book, Kingdom Come. Very similar concept to Michael Frost. And it's a true story out of the United States, out of South Carolina, about John Moniz and Tim Scott. I just want to read it to us. Does a man named John Moniz, for example, did not live to see the ninth grade African-American young man he befriended become the first black senator from the state of South Carolina? Years ago, John owned a Chick-fil-A restaurant in Citadel Square Mall in Charleston. He began to notice that young Tim Scott, who worked as a ticket taker at the mall's multiplex, came into the store every day but only ordered fries and water. One day, John asked the young man why he never ordered anything else. "Because that's all I can afford," John said, or Tim responded, sorry. At that moment, John made a decision that changed the course of a lot of lives. He grabbed a couple of chicken sandwiches and followed Tim out into the mall. As the two sat and ate, they began a relationship that evolved into a weekly meeting. That mentoring relationship eventually led to Tim's high school graduation. At the time that Tim met John, he was about to drop out of high school, followed by a college education, followed by a business venture, followed by entering into public service as a local elected official. On top of it all, John showed Tim how to become a Jesus follower. When Tim Scott took the oath of office as the United States Senator on January 3rd, 2013, he said, "Besides Jesus Christ, I want to thank two people for helping me get here, my mama and John Moniz." John died almost two decades ago. He never got to see the full impact he'd had on the life of Tim Scott. What can you do with a couple chicken sandwiches? You can change the world. Blessing. Simple blessing. Listening to the Spirit. Right? It doesn't have to be a major program, anything like that. And this was 20-some years ago, 25 years ago. Who's God calling you to? What's he calling you to? Is there a neighbor that needs some maple syrup? That's how it all started for us in Whitewood, Saskatchewan. I encourage you to read pages 34 and 35 of Michael Frost's book. I'm sure you hopefully have already read them. But some stats there that were very interesting about a Thailand short-term missions trip. There was half the team went to bless, half the team went to convert. And in the end, who had more converts? Those who went to bless and had the motivation of blessing than those who went to convert. The stats are all in there. Won't take time, but I encourage you to read that. It was encouraging to me. Romans 2, verse 4 says, God's forbearance and kindness lead us to repentance. Isn't God's kindness and forbearance wonderful with us? His grace is so amazing. That scripture took on a whole new meaning to me over the last 4 or 5 years as I went through a very similar process as Michael Frost has here with my previous denomination. They had a group of seven sayings talking about the way of Jesus. The second saying is this: I am being sent by Jesus to bless others and invite them to follow him. Bless others and invite them to follow him. Like, I always felt so much pressure just to make the sale spiritually. But when I saw that and that blessing, that you don't have to do that. You know, God has everyone's life and he gives everyone life, both Christian and non-Christian. Amen? He does that. And why do we feel that we need to take the control back and force the issue? I just want to encourage us today to go out and bless, to encourage, walk out. There might be a John Monez out there, and there is lots of John Monezes out there that are wandering around Claire's home, around your area of influence, that are coming into your business, that are coming in and walking. And maybe you know some of those John Monezes out there, and you've been walking with them. Good for you. You're, should I say Tim Scott? Sorry, not John Monez, but you can be a John Monez to a Tim Scott. But there are Tim Scotts everywhere that are just waiting for us to bless. So let's pray. Because you know what? Our lives are not meant to be ordinary. Our lives are meant to be extraordinary. Because we have Jesus living on the inside. Right? We have Jesus. He's transformed us. He's changed us. We're different. And people need to see that difference. Amen? Yes. Lord Jesus, we just come to you. We thank you for what you have in store for us. Father, I pray that even just a few words, even just the word bless, would have transformed and encouraged us and reminded us of where you want us to go. Father, I pray if there's anyone here today that feels that burden, that they just have to make the sale spiritually, Father, I pray that you would release that from them and just help them to be conduits of blessing, encouraging others with words of affirmation, with random acts of kindness, with gifts given. Father, we have been called to not just survive, but to thrive in this world. So I just ask, Lord Jesus, that you would help us to embrace blessing, because you blessed us with so much, all the goodness in the heavenly realms. You've come and you've blessed us, Lord Jesus. Came and dwelt among us as we just celebrated this past Christmas. You gave us that great gift. So may we walk out in that joy and love and peace and hope that we talked about for the sake of those Tim Scotts that are out there that so desperately need help with homework, that need help with finances, that need help with just the everyday practical things, and ultimately they need help for their souls to come to you, Jesus. So we just ask for your hand of guidance and direction for all of us to thrive as people of God, as children, as Christians, as anointed ones who have come and are now we are sending out, we are going out very shortly from this building So I pray for that blessing, a set of blessing lenses to be put on or to be adjusted as we need them, Lord Jesus, to see the needs of those around us and to meet them for your kingdom's sake. We pray in Jesus' name.